We're back in a psalm that was written around the same events that we talked about last week, when David's son Absalom rebelled and his father had to leave Jerusalem. The two armies went into battle and his son was killed. And you remember last week we were in that psalm where when David was leaving the city of Jerusalem because Absalom was coming, he looked at a group of people and he said, I feel sorry for you. You don't have any changes in your life like I do, and therefore you don't fear God. This morning we're looking at a psalm that David wrote after the battle, after Absalom was killed, after he returned to Jerusalem and set up on the throne again after that rebellion. He wrote Psalm 40, and it starts out, I waited patiently for the Lord. And you know, sometimes that's exactly what we have to do. Sometimes when we pray and have a problem or a heartache in our life, we go to God, we expect God to be like McDonald's. We expect God to give us instantaneous service. You know, I don't know about you, when I go to McDonald's and they say, can you pull up a little bit and wait? I say, no, I want my money back. This is supposed to be a fast food place. I don't want to wait. But sometimes we treat God like McDonald's. We pray and we expect him to immediately give us what we want. And sometimes, as David said, sometimes God makes us wait. And we just have to patiently wait on him. And David said, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He said, God got closer and he heard my cry. And he says, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit. And that pit that David was talking about was the rebellion of his son. It was having to leave Jerusalem and his home and the temple and the Ark of the Covenant. It was having to go in and to exile. It was having to fight an army that his son raised against him. It was the fact that his son was killed. A horrible pit. And David said, God lifted me out of that horrible pit. This morning, I speak primarily to those that are here that are in a horrible pit today. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in a place far worse than David was. If you're here and you don't know that you're saved, you don't know that you're going to heaven, you are living this morning, whether you realize it or not, in a horrible pit. You are standing on miry clay. Your life has no purpose. You say, preacher, my life has purpose. No, it doesn't. Because every single person was made to fellowship with God. That's why you were made. That's why you were created. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you cannot fulfill the purpose for which you were made. And so you have no purpose. You have no joy. The things of the world may provide some happiness, but you really have no deep-rooted joy. And your life has no meaning. And this morning, I want to talk to you, and I want everybody else to listen, because I think we as Christians need to be reminded from whence we were lifted. We as Christians need to be reminded, because God loved us, that we are no longer in that horrible pit, but we are standing on that rock that David talked about there in verse 2 when he says, he lifted me, brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of miry clay, and set my foot upon a rock and established my goings. Let me tell you this morning, if you're here and you're not saved, why the pit that you are in is horrible. I have five things I want to say. Number one, it's horrible because you right now are condemned for eternity. I hear people say, well, I've got to live a good life so that when I stand before the judgment seat, I won't be condemned. And I want to tell those people, you're making a mistake, because my Bible says you are condemned already. In John chapter 3, verse 36, the Bible says, He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You don't have to wait before you stand before the judgment seat. You don't have to wait before the judge to pass down his judgment. The trial has already been held, the sentence has already been passed, and you stand before God apart from Jesus Christ, condemned for all eternity. But the fact that you're still alive, the fact that you're still breathing God's air, the fact that you are here this morning means that you have some hope. some hope. But the pit that you're in is horrible, not only because you are condemned already, but because, number two, each day that passes, your hope grows dimmer. Your hope gets less and less. Every minute that you delay, every time that you reject Christ, the door of hope closes a little bit more. If you rejected the gospel last week, it'll be easier for you to reject it today. And if you reject the gospel today, it'll be easier for you to reject it next week. Every time you say no to Jesus Christ, every time you grieve the Holy Spirit of God by not responding to His invitation to come to the Savior, it gets harder and harder and harder for you to get saved, and your hope grows dimmer and dimmer and dimmer. How many of you this morning, I want you to listen for a minute and raise your hands with me. How many of you were saved before the age of 10 years old? Lift your hand. Hold them up high. Before 10 years old. Okay, how many of you were saved between 10 and 20? Hold up your hand. I'm in that category. How many were saved between 20 and 30? Okay, how many were saved between 30 and 40? All right, and how many were saved between 40 and 50? Okay, how many were saved after 50? Okay, all right, how many were saved after 60? Okay, did you notice the pattern? More people were saved at a young age than at an old age. I got some news for you. I don't mean to ruin your day. You're as young today as you're ever going to be. Amen? You ain't going to get any younger. You're as young as you are, as you're ever going to be today, and the best chance that you have to ask Jesus to be your Savior, if you haven't done it, is today. That's why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, God said, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." And it's the Holy Spirit that calls us to Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that woos us to God. And if you're alive today, you're in a horrible pit because you're condemned already because you haven't believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. But you have hope. But that hope dims. Every day that passes that you don't ask Jesus to be your Savior. And so if you're here today and the Holy Spirit's still calling, the Holy Spirit's still wooing you to the Savior, you need to come. You need to come. Because number three, in all honesty, you don't realize the terrible condition that you are in. If you're here today and you don't know Christ, you're in a horrible pit. But the pit you are headed for is even worse than the one that you're in today. That pit that I'm talking about is hell. That pit that I'm talking about is that place of fire where the worm dieth not. The Bible calls it a bottomless pit where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that place that was created for Satan and all his demons. And you listen to me, if you really understood your condition today, if you really understood that at any moment your heart could quit beating and you would go out into eternity to a Christless hell and spend eternity, if you really understood your condition, here's what you do right now. You're sitting in the pew and you're listening to me talk about a place called hell. And if you really understood what it means to be lost and what eternity holds for you, you would jump up out of your seat and say, "Preacher, preacher, preacher, I'm lost. I'm on my way to hell. I need somebody to tell me about Jesus right now." Right now. I mean, if you understood that at any moment you could drop into eternity and be apart from God forever and ever and ever, you wouldn't sit there and wait for the invitation. You wouldn't sit there and wait for the next 10 minutes to pass. You'd jump out of your pew and you'd run down front and you'd say, "I got to be saved. I need Jesus as my Savior. I don't want to go to hell." And by the way, if you did this morning, I'd stop the service. I'd get one of our people that know how to do it. And we'd take the Bible and we'd show you how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Amen. You're in a horrible pit because you're condemned already. Your hope grows dimmer and dimmer as each day passes. You really don't realize your condition. You're in a horrible pit, number four, because there is no created being that can help you. You know, your mom and dad, they may be wonderful Christians, but they can't get you into heaven. You may have a wonderful grandpa and grandma that loved Jesus, and every chance they got, they took you to church. But your grandpa and grandma can't get you into heaven. Your husband can't. Your wife can't. Your mom and dad can't. There's nothing that any other man can do to save you. I read a story, that's been several years ago, where three men got into a boat and they rowed out into the Niagara River. They got drunk. And so they rowed the boat over to the shore, and they had a rope, and they loosely tied it around a tree. And as the water, you know, lapped the boat, the rope came untied. It floated down toward the falls. Two of the men went over the falls and crashed to their death. A third one ended up on a log that was protruding just a few feet from the falls in the rapids. The next morning, somebody saw him. He was hanging on for dear life. And word went out, and hundreds of people came and lined the shore, all trying to figure out, how can we save this man? Can we throw him a rope? Can we send a boat out there? And because he was so close to the edge, and because he was right in the middle of the rapids, nobody had an idea. There was even a man there that said, hey, I'll give $10,000 to the guy that can figure out how to rescue this guy. And this went on hour after hour after hour. And somebody on the shore said, you know, we need to encourage this guy to hang on. And so they got a big piece of cardboard and they painted on there with letters, we will save you. Hang on. 26 hours passed. Nobody could figure out how to get out there without risking and giving their own life. And he got so tired that he eventually lost his grip, went over the falls, and was crushed on the rocks below. I wish I could hold up a sign this morning that said, we will save you. But I can't. I wish I could hold up a sign this morning that says, our church will save you. But I can't. Our church can't. We as individuals can't. There's nothing that we can do to get you out of this horrible pit that you're in or keep you from going to the horrible pit you're headed toward. It's a horrible pit. Number five, because not even God himself can help you unless you let him. Amen. You see, when God created man, he made us, he gave us the freedom to choose. He gave us the right to make the decision whether we're going to come to him or not. When God sent Jesus to the earth, he said, now look, I'm going to give you power over everything. Over nature, over everything that's in the earth. You're going to have power over death. You're going to have power over everything. But one thing you are not going to have the power to do. You are not going to have the power to lift men out of that pit that they're in unless they ask you to. You cannot force yourself on anybody. You cannot go against their will. The only time that you can lift them out of that pit is when they agree. And so the Holy Spirit is that part of God that draws us to the Savior. The Holy Spirit is that part of God that helps us understand that we're a sinner. And the penalty for that sin is separation from God forever and ever and ever. Jesus, the Son of God, came, went to a cross, shed his blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh to the Father. I mean, Jesus did everything that he could up to the limit that God set on him to save you and to save me. But he cannot go past that line. He cannot force himself or his salvation on us. God the Father is willing to forgive sin. He's willing to justify us, make us as if we've never sinned. But he cannot do that unless we ask Jesus to save us. You're in a horrible pit if you don't know Christ, because you've been condemned already. Your hope grows smaller and smaller as each moment passes. As each moment passes. There's nothing that, and you are headed for a worse place than you are now. And there's nothing any man can do, and there's nothing that God can do unless you allow him to do it. Let me ask you this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, why don't you ask him to save you this morning? Why would you continue to live in this horrible pit that you're in on this earth? And why would you continue to face the eternity of going and being without God forever and ever and ever? I read another story, true story, Scotland. Three brothers, almost grown into manhood. They were home right before they were getting ready to go to the university. And this is, again, this is supposedly a true story. And they were at their father's house. And it was in a field in Scotland somewhere. And out in the back pasture, there was a deep, deep chasm in the earth. They had been warned about it from the time they were small boys. And their father tried to keep them away. But now they were about to go to university. And they said, let's go exploring. And so they went to the edge of the chasm and they looked down and they dared each other to go down inside the chasm. The youngest said to the oldest, well, I'll follow you. And the middle one said, well, I will too. You're the oldest. If you go down, I'll go down with you. And so the oldest, they started sliding down the side of that chasm, and they slid down and down and down and down, and they finally stopped. And they just, you know, continued to look down it, and they saw that there was a ledge about 10 feet from where they were. A rock was over it, but there was a ledge that set back from it. And the older said, I think I can grab hold of that rock and swing onto that ledge. And he did. And his two younger brothers followed him. And then his younger brother said to the oldest, how are we going to get out? His brother said, I don't know. Because there's no way that they could jump up. It was about 10 feet up to the rock. There's no way they could climb around it. Night came. Their father missed them. He said, I know where they are. And so he took a great big light, called some of the neighbors. They went out to the chasm and they began to look down in the deep, deep part. He had a big light and he held it over and he said, I see my boys. They're down there on that ledge. And so he called out, hey, boys, just hang on for a minute. I'm going to get a rope. I'll throw you down the rope, tie yourself to the rope, and we'll pull you out. So he got a long rope, threw it down in the chasm. And, of course, because the rock was over the ledge, the rope was out of the reach. And the guys on the top said, hey, if we swing it, maybe it'll swing back. And so they started pulling the rope and get at the end of it swinging, and the end came back to the boys. And he called to his oldest son, I think his name was Benjamin, if I remember right. Benjamin, take the rope, tie it underneath your arms, and then take your hands off the rope. Just don't do anything. Just make sure it's tied tight, and we'll pull you out. And so Benjamin took the rope. He started to tie it to himself. He said, you know what? If those guys let me go, and I'm tied up so tight I can't get out, I won't be able to jump to safety. He said, I'll tie it loose. And when they pull me out over that rock, if it doesn't look like they're going to be able to pull me up, I'll untie it so I can jump back on the ledge. And so he tied it loosely about himself. They started pulling him up. He swung off that ledge. He looked down into what looked like a bottomless pit, and he got scared, and he says, they're not going to be able to pull me up. And he loosed that knot that he had made, jumped for the ledge, but missed it, plunged to his death. George was the second oldest son. Father gave him the same instructions. George, tie the rope around yourself. Tie it tight. Keep your hands off of it. George did the same thing that Benjamin did. He said, if they can't pull me up, I'm going to die. And so I'm going to tie it loose, and if it looks like they're not going to be able to pull me up, I'll untie it and jump to the ledge. George plunged to his death. The third son was named Jeffrey. And his dad cried out, now, Jeffrey, please, 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 just do what I say. I can save your life if you just do what I say. Take the rope, tie it around yourself tight. Keep your hands off of it. And Jeffrey wound that rope around him. He tied one knot. He tied another knot. He tied another knot. He tied another knot. He said, Dad, I'm ready. And they begin to pull him. He swung out off of that ledge. He couldn't untie the knots that he'd tied. And those on the top pulled him up to safety. They pulled him up to safety. There's a God in heaven this morning that says, look, I'll get you out of that horrible pit that you're in. And I'll keep you from going to that horrible pit called hell. All I want you to do is trust me. Just trust me. And I'll tell you, God's better deal is better than the father's in this story. Because when you say yes to Jesus, you don't have to depend on some rope. Because the Son of God will come, and you will rest in his everlasting arms. And he will take you out of the horrible pit that you're in here, and he will set your feet upon a rock. And when you get ready to go out into eternity, you will go to be with him forever and ever and ever and ever. You can try your own ropes, and you can try to tie your own knots, but I guarantee you, every single one of them will fail. The only one that will work is the one that God designed. Would you take him this morning? Would you ask Jesus to be your Savior? He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. And if you're a Christian this morning, you rejoice because you are out of that horrible pit. You're standing on a rock. And heaven's your future. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope that it gives us, the message of salvation. And I pray if there's just one person here this morning that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, today would be the day. Help them to see the condition that they're in. They're headed for hell with no hope. Father, and hope grows dimmer every day. But Jesus is the way. And Jesus will save them. But he can't unless they ask. The Bible says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Help them to believe. And then pray right where they are. Father, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, please save me. And I pray, Father, if there's one that prayed that prayer, that in just a second they'll walk the aisle. Share with us the decision that they made so that they can rejoice. Just make it so, Father. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.